Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for answers, some kind of sign, a deeper meaning, but not much to find, except the sun in my face, and it feels right. Had gotten used to the silence,
I look forward to this. light it up. If you feelin' my feet, 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 I need your energy. High life, high life, high tide, don't drown. Big breath, take stealth, stay cool. When I'm down, that vibe, that's right. On top, that high, I fly, sky dive, high five, we won't die. See hope, see try, see why. In my eyes, win big, win life. Take off, bye bye, no slip, black ice. Take shoes, lip fly, don't stop, must try. Energy, that's why I'm doing the most. In the middle of the road, I'm running the glow. I'm fighting for those that give everything to get back what they owe. So close, don't fold, live bright, live bold. Kick back, get close, light it up for yours. I need your energy. I need your energy. This world is killing me. Light it up. If you feelin' my feet, 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 I need your energy. This what they want, this what they need, this what we on. Took it worldwide and brought it back home. Turn it on. Energy. Never been scared, always prepared, taking you there. You need to be here, heads in the air, yeah, yeah. Flossed up, fly like a saucer, live in the moment. Get it, on it, live it, breathe it, zone it. No time to waste, no time to slow down when we out on the chase. Don't be pumping your brakes, when you coming from nothing, you do what it takes. Dodging these gunshots, man, still gotta stay focused. Ain't no sleep, stay awoken, gotta keep your eyes open. When all of my energy gone, don't leave me out on my own. Don't leave me all on my own. Light it up, light it up, light it up, light it up. I need your energy. I need your energy. This world is killing me. Light it up. If you feelin' my feet, light it up. If you feelin' my feet, light it up. If you feelin' my feet, light it up. If you feelin' my feet,
especially different every time you keep me on my feet. Happily excited by. One more nigga come around these parts, talking that shit. We'll put it on my grave, nigga. I'ma throw a bitch, ayy. One more nigga come around these parts, talking that shit. We'll put it on my grave, nigga. I'ma throw a bitch, put it on my grave, ayy. Hey, if you want it, baby. Put it on my grave, ayy, yeah. Alright now, what do you get with the body without the soul? Just a pussy print and printing, just another name on the roll. You don't say you had no web to do on Rolling Stone. That might work for other kiddies, to me, so don't call my phone. Put it on your grave, hey, hey. If you want it, babe, put it on my grave. Thinking it's a joke now. It ain't no joke. I'm about to explode. Hey, hey. Do-do-do-do-do. Come on.
Good evening. Good evening, one and all. Welcome to 50 Radio Universe of Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Tonight, we are at the Stone of Marvel, this is DC. But, you know, because of the powers that be that have empowered me to be as creative as possible, and while we're waiting for our DC people to show up, we're going to do a little thing. Just a smidgen differently. We're going to add something to it. You know, a little bit of war council in there, never hurt nobody, while we're waiting. And we're going to get some stuff done. We're going to call some people in here real quick. And we're going to make it all happen. And then we're going to get some DC conversation, of course. Marvel versus DC conversation. So, and then we're going to get it done. All right. So in the meantime, in the meantime, we're going to play music for another 5 minutes. And then we'll get back to the regular state of business. So we're about to do some things. Stay tuned. Hang out. Enjoy the vibe. We're going to keep it rocking. So we'll be back. 5 of 5. This is Disney Radio Universe. This is Marvel vs. DC. The Versus. Also, we're going to throw a little bit of war counseling here because this is some interesting things that happen in the culture. We're going to talk. So, stay tuned. You're listening to the sound of my voice. Call in. We're in about 5 minutes.
Anytime. show. Check this out.
Can have my love. You're the girl of my life. Am I all you're dreaming of? Yes, you're my desire. I wanna give you so much for the things that you give to me. Just take my love, baby, because you are so dear to me.
We're here. We're back. Little stuff running around in the background. Had to get some things done. All the stuff is happening. Cool as can be. Hello, welcome. Welcome to Disney Radio. This is Marvel vs. DC Versus, but we're going to take a little bit of a detour. A little bit of War Council. Bring that in here. And I've opened up certain people's mics. If you'd like to speak, make sure that you press 1 so that you can have this conversation and get in on the good stuff right now. I am joined by the eloquent one, Brother Wendell. How are you?
All is well. All is well.
Is it me or is it?
Glad to be with you, brother.
Okay, I thought I was talking like, I'm good. I thought we were short, I was far away. Lisa Lips.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen.
All right.
Good to be here.
Lisa.
All right. I just opened up 518. I'm bad at reading numbers. Madison speaking.
I'm Batman.
518. Oh, what's up? Hey, what's happening? Paul Kane. Well, Paul.
Yeah.
We was taking a detour because there was no way for you to get here. I was like, where's all my DC people? But Paul, you can weigh in on this too, because you know you're a good person to debate with and debate for. And Danielle, I opened your mic because I know, even though that you didn't have anything, I know you had something to say about this. So,
to open my mic.
The detour I was doing. Yeah, I did. I opened your mic. The detour that we're doing until we got enough people here, and then I have a special guest, Dennis. Dennis, say what's up.
What's up?
All right, so Dennis is part of my Sunrise Scribe fam, the tribe. You know, we write in the mornings on Tuesdays and Fridays. He's a real dope individual. I decided to bring him over here to meet the fam and get everything done. J-Rob keeps hopping in and out. I don't know. He's here one minute. He's out. I don't know what's going on in the background.
Mojave, though, man, call me Dope Dennis because I want to get that alliteration like Lisa Lips. So I'm going to go with Dope Dennis.
Dope Dennis. Well, okay. We'll work it that way. But in the meantime, in between time, say what's up. You know, we have some incredible people. Paul Kane is my consummate. He is the consummate, ultimate DC head, also known as Batman. Not even for joking. That's how the city knows him. That's how my city knows him. And he really saved the city. You know, you want to talk about a community change agent, that's your guy. Nobody works harder than him. He outworks everybody. So, but when it comes to DC, he's nobody to play with. But before we get into all that, let's talk about what happened at the Oscars. Right, and I figured it'd be a nice little detour. I think it'd be a nice little detour before we get to it. Area code 346, who master speaking?
Hi, it's Quinn.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi. All
right. So, Paul, I know you've never been on the War Council side. Neither Dennis, you're brand new, but the War Council is an egalitarian panel of black men and black women talk about community issues and changes and things that happen. But let's talk about what happened at the Oscars, right, between Will Smith and Chris Rock. And, you know, we know in anything that we do, we don't talk over each other. We don't yell at each other. We give our opinions and we move forward. So, what happened?
Will got fed up. He really got fed up. My honest opinion, this was brewing. What Chris said really didn't have anything to do with things that had been going on with them for a minute. Even though that couple, that particular couple, they're swingers. She stepped out on him without his knowledge, without consulting him or anything. And it kind of broke him down. And I believe that Will has been in a depression for a minute behind that, because he is one of those few people that advocate for nonviolence, no cussing, anything like that. And he snapped. That was like the camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. I think it's okay. You know, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be emotional, but it's a way to handle that. You know, some people say it was wrong for handling, choosing violence. Some people, most people are praising him for it. But I think a lot of his issues need to be addressed to her and not anybody outside of them. Although, now, the thing with comedians, okay, this is what they do. Okay? They insult people. Huh?
No, go ahead.
The thing with comedians, they insult people. in hopes to get a laugh, okay? This is not something that's new. This has been taking place since comedy started, okay? And a lot of people, sometimes they do take offense to it. But saying that this would be okay for that to take place would be like excusing everybody else that wants to come on stage at a show and attack the comedian. Will has been in show business long enough to know that these hosts, when they are hired, a lot of these things are scripted. They are paid to say certain things. I don't think he set out intentionally to hurt her feelings or target her, but I mean, it is what it is. He chose to handle it that way. I feel like he could have went up on stage and grabbed Chris by the back of his neck and said, "Fuck, I'm going to fuck you up later behind this shit. Don't say this shit no more. Keep my wife's name out of your mouth." That way, you know, and okay. Walk off the stage and leave it at that.
So hold on, Danielle, because we got to make sure we spread the love a little bit. Let's go to Wendell. Wendell, what's your opinion?
I think that what happened last night was the culmination of a lot of different things going on inside of Will's head. You know, I haven't read his autobiography, but I have heard it said that, you know, within the first chapter, he stated that his greatest failing in life as a man was not stepping up to defend his mother, who was the victim of domestic abuse. And with him being such an advocate for nonviolence, to see in this particular case another man make a statement that was causing hurt to his wife, you know, there's parallels here. He did not step forward to defend the first woman who ever loved him, and that made him feel powerless. This is a situation where another man is stepping up and is, you know, causing harm, causing hurt or discomfort, anguish to another woman that he loves. And in that moment, I do believe that there was a snap. And so him slapping Chris Rock was much less about him protecting or defending Jada as much as it was him trying to go back into his past, his childhood, and defend his mama. And I also think that but that was only one particular parallel. In another instance, yes, he was stepping forth because he did see the hurt on Jada's face. Even though he initially laughed at the joke, he reversed himself. And he reversed himself, I believe, there may have been a couple of different reasons for that. One reason for the reversal may have been the actual, care for her and her condition with alopecia and not wanting to see her being made a public spectacle. But I also think that that he did what he did because if he didn't, there probably was going to be some type of a repercussion, either when he got home, either coming directly from Jada, and if not from Jada, definitely from her supporters. She's got a whole other platform.
Hold on, I'm gonna hold you right there because I want to keep spreading the wealth. I'm gonna hold you right there.
Yep.
I'm gonna go to Lisa Lips.
I think there's some blame on
Lips,
all sides. I really think Chris Rock forgot the venue he was in a normal comedy club. He can make those kinds of cracks because he's got security that's going to keep anybody from stepping on stage. At the Oscars, they're all pretty much considered to be on the same level. So there's no security preventing you from walking on the stage because you're of the same caliber. So So he made a joke that he could have got away with in a different crowd, but because it was the venue he was in, Will was not restrained in any way from walking up there. So I think that was the first mistake made. The second thing is that Jada has made Will look weak with many things he's done. I saw when the two of them were on the red table, and he looked so defeated talking about this whole entanglement thing. And he tried to play it off well, but you could see that it was paining him to have to deal with this in this public platform. But that's what she wanted, and he tends to yield to what she wants. And so I think in this moment, he felt like this was another time of her making him look weak if he didn't step up and do something. So he stood up and did the first thing that hit him in the head, was to go up there and to just do something to defend her. It wasn't the right thing. He realized it wasn't the right thing pretty shortly thereafter. And you could see in his face later in his acceptance speech that that whole instance was something that just really, he was really hurt by the whole situation, because he was in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. If he didn't stand up and do something, it was the media's opportunity to say he failed her again. If he stood up and did say something, it, depending on what he said, would have been, you know, however it was perceived. So he did the thing that men revert to from time to time and just take it into that realm. It's not the person we're used to seeing in him, but he's still a man who grew up in the streets of Philadelphia, who probably gotten a few fights in his life, and that was what he in that moment decided to do. But I'm sure that as soon as he swung, he wished he could take it back.
Okay. All right. Paul King, do you want to comment?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I love Will. Before this, I was like the biggest fan of Will ever. I love his approach to life and love and family and everything else. This was completely disgusting and disappointing to me. He took out his anger on one person. He can have all that embarrassment and all the reasons that he wants to do it. It's not okay for you to take out all your anger and embarrassment on one person. And not for nothing, people have been calling Jada a hoe and making sexual references about her for the last 2 years. And he didn't have this energy with 50 Cent. He don't have this energy with nobody else. He kind of picked on somebody smaller than him who didn't have nothing around. That's corny to me. He's punching down. And I'm just super disappointed, and it's not okay. All the reasons why, that's cool. But he ruined Chris Rock's night. He ruined the King Richard night. He ruined Questlove's night. Like, he ruined everybody else's night. And I was super disappointed in his response, because immediately after, he apologized to the Academy Awards show. Man, damn them people. He didn't apologize to Chris Rock. And then in the after party, he was dancing with his Oscar on camera, like, just living. And I'm like, bro, this is disappointing. We're supposed to be better than that. Like, we are adults and professionals and leaders and this, that, and the third. And he makes an effort to be that. You know, he writes books about, you know, being evolved and emotionally aware and this, that, and the third. You know, he preaches about that stuff. And he really let me down big time. Like, I understand. But I've been in plenty of positions where I want to choke somebody or this, that, and the third, and you figure out a way to handle it. No matter how mad you are, you can't give in to your basest instinct, no matter how understandable it is. So for me, nah, man, it's horrible. And then locally, not for nothing, all of this, yeah, if somebody disrespects your woman, you just got to smack them, bro. Man, listen, in my city, there's shootings every other day in the summertime. It gets real bad. The last thing we need is more energy, like, yeah, just go smack him, bro. That's not going to go well. And for me, that's horribly irresponsible. Like, nah, bro, we do have to be better than that. He is a celebrity. He has been a role model for like 40 years. Bro, you have to do better. So it's not okay for me. Wild disappointed in Will.
Wow. Juanita,
Yes. So.
Your opinion?
I have a vastly different view than I think maybe the first three, and I'm kind of more on the page with the young man who just finished speaking, and I'm going to say it like this. Will Smith is an actor. And there was nothing genuine about the way he engaged Chris Rock. Like, the craziest thing to me is if I look back, and, you know, I've never been a man, so I can't really, but for me, as a woman, let me say it like that. As a woman, if I am uncomfortable, because that's what she was at best, because people have said worse things, and we know this, and she comes out into the public on a regular basis. So here's the thing. You come into the venue as a paid actor, and you're taking part in an award show where your husband is being nominated, sometimes to smile and fake it a little bit or whatever. But if I can't, and he addresses the person that brings me pain as opposed to turning to me, because what he could have done would have been the best PR move for him ever was get up and go and kiss that bald-headed hoe on her head, because he's in love with her every single day. And it is what it is. But he chose the biggest night of almost everyone there's life to act like he was that upset. Because what he didn't do was run up on the stage and pummel him. He ran up on the stage, made a scene, and then calmly took his seat where he then started to yell. That's ridiculous. Will Smith is an attention whore. And people don't like to say that because he's a nice guy and suffered trauma and all of those things. But who hasn't? I don't get to walk around and people not say things that they want to say about me, that they're paid to say about me, that they may feel about me because I've suffered trauma and therefore everybody else has to curtail their lives to me. It's nice to be kind and it's kind to be nice, but that's not the world that we live in. When the baby slapped somebody, everybody was up in freaking arms. He was in a dark nightclub where somebody grabbed him. He didn't know what it was, so he swung. Will Smith, in full broad daylight, got up and went up on the stage and attacked somebody. And now we're cut and we're concerned for him. When the baby did it, he was a thug. When Will Smith does it, he's emotionally disturbed to the point that two of the other biggest black actors in the world go to the stage and comfort him because he just slapped somebody. What message are we sending to children? What message are we sending to adults? He thought he was King Richard. I'm not with it. I'm not with the empathizers. I'm not with the sympathizers. None of it. I'm not with it at all.
Okay. Dennis, would you like to comment?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. I agree with a lot of the points that that Kane said, and actually, you could kind of tie this into DC versus Marvel, because before the depth of the situation really sunk in, when I first saw the smack, the first thing I thought of was the Batman meme, Batman smacking Robin. So you can tie it in on that angle, but some of the things that that I didn't hear anybody mention is, this could have been potentially much worse. You know, I've seen cases because essentially he snuffed Chris Rock, and you hit somebody in the head area when they're not suspecting, and the neck jerks violently. You don't know what that could cause. So it would have been like a Final Destination thing, but That could have really went somewhere where you didn't expect it. And I guess the wisdom of the elders that I think pertains to the situation is, especially if, you know, the ones that are saying that, he protected Jada, he had to do that. You can do the right thing the wrong way. And that's pretty much what it amounts to, because especially me as a writer, when they say the phrase, the pen is mightier than the sword, but what it basically means is that your words can have a greater effect than violence ever did, right? Because that's the whole thing with Dr. King, right? And I think someone mentioned that too. If he had went up on the stage without even hitting Chris and just checked him and stated it clearly what the issue was, that would have been far more effective than hitting him. Because, see, now when you're hitting him, there's so much gray area and it's open to interpretation. I think he should have went up there and he should have did a Cory Booker. That would be my where I'm at right now with it.
Okay. That's what's up. Edwina. Edwina, are you there? I guess you're here, but maybe you can't answer. All right. So there's been a lot of think pieces about the slap in particular and all levels, and much like the different opinions that we've exhibited during the course of this whole thing that's happening. One of the major think pieces that came out was, I forgot to, maybe I can pull it from War Council. Let me see. Let me see if I can pull it. It makes it really hard to see from where I'm sitting. I'm sorry, I missed all these messages. My bad. Forgive me. All right. It says, let me go to the thing that, let me do both of these articles that we have in here. Just moving through quickly as possible. Okay. All right. Where it says, I just wish Jada would have reached out and grabbed Will's arm before he went up on that stage to protect him as well. She never protects him. She could have used her power as his wife to calm him down before things got to this point. Not because she wouldn't have wanted to be defended and protected by her man, as all women do, but because of her role as his wife to protect the heart of her man as well. In recent years, and perhaps throughout the whole marriage, for all we know, because we don't know, we only know what they show us, she hasn't done that well. Marriage is a two-way street, or should be. She's been taunting this man for some time through her own actions, entanglement, etc. The humiliation, embarrassment, shame, guilt, disdain, and disappointment in himself that he will now yet again have to endure at her expense. While noble, may prove to be very detrimental breaking point for already mentally and emotionally vulnerable man. And that was extremely evident tonight. I'm worried about him and the after effect of this all. All right, so in this thing that we're seeing, so in this thing that we're seeing, in one of the think pieces with that, the other one that was said was, let me close that. The other one that was said was, hold on a second. Will Smith at this point is completely broken. He's not the bad guy here. Jada is pulling all the strings. She broke down his masculinity on television during a talk about why she cheated on him, and her excuse was, if he loved me enough, he would have known. I think that Will Smith wholeheartedly did not care about the joke Chris Rock made at the Oscar, but Jada looks over at Will once the camera pans away, as if to say, if you don't stand up on me, this is why I cheated. And so he says, keep toxic women out of your life because it can turn nice dudes into monsters. So putting that before y'all, you know, how do y'all feel about that particular, those particular viewpoints and perspectives, which I think a couple of people actually covered in the idea of what was happening. But in your opinion, do you think Jada is really pulling the strings, and do you think that Will Smith is emotionally vulnerable or possibly broken?
Absolutely.
He may be broken, but he's also an adult. He's also an adult who's been in plenty of relationships. He's more than 50 years old. The idea that well, it's Jada's fault because she's, nah, I can't do that. Like, you're grown. There's accountability. And if at 50 years old, this, that, and a third in your life with kids, you can't control your own reactions and you're not in control of yourself, I can't even blame Jada for that. That's more of a, bro, Will, you got to get it together. That's not okay. So accountability on his part. He has to do the healing. He has to get stronger to be able to not respond in that way or whatever. But I have to keep it squarely on Will. Like, bro, you got to do better. We expect better. He sets the tone. He set his own bar too high. And it's hard to live up to it, but you got to if that's what you want to be.
I can agree with that. But okay. At the same time, I don't think at any age you're too old to be manipulated. Someone can always be, someone can always see the control that they have over you, especially when they know they've broken you. And like I said, I think Will has been in a depression for a long time, among other things, just the pressures of Hollywood and being living that lifestyle, giving up your privacy and living in the limelight like that. That's a lot of pressure. A lot of people be like, oh, they don't got to do nothing. But they do. They have to deal with a lot, just as well as a regular Joe. But at the same time, I'm not excusing his behavior because, like I said in the beginning, he could have walked up on stage. He could have got real close, grabbed Chris by the back of his neck and whispered in his ear, I'm gonna fuck you up for this shit. Don't say anything else about my wife. And then he could have walked, you know, he could have straightened out his jacket and walked off the stage like that. He did not have to humiliate him like that. Yeah, I think he was taking out a lot of the pressure that was built up inside of him over the years on Chris. So, but I can see from, I can understand both sides of the spectrum. But no, I don't advocate for violence, but I do understand. He snapped. And he was trying to more so defend his manhood, his masculinity, I believe, rather than her hurt feelings. Okay. If, in fact, she actually does have alopecia, because you don't know about these Hollywood couples. It could be a stunt altogether. All of that could have been scripted. You never know. But we're gonna assume that this is real emotion. This is raw emotion.
Can I piggyback on this?
Go ahead. Piggyback on this.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it just seems weird. You know, for me, I noticed, I was looking at, you know, the stories, and you know, I looked at, you know, because all of the stories quote Will, you know, when he goes on, leave my wife's name out your, I don't know if you can curse, but you know what he said. But I looked at the quote, and it just struck me as odd, because that's not the way, at least, people curse that I know when they snap. It was like he cursed in proper English, and that was kind of weird to me. Like the whole thing was just like perfectly grammatically correct with the ing and stuff. You know, when you upset, it, the ing definitely come up. You know, there's no you don't say the whole thing out grammatically. You know. So that was crossing my mind too, you know, that maybe it could have been possibly scripted or something. I don't know. It's just weird.
Okay.
Yo.
I
would say this.
Go ahead.
I was a minister in the Nation of Islam for, 21 years? And in my time being a minister, you had a certain code that you had to follow. You had a certain rules you had to follow. And you always had to protect your image. When people look up to you at a certain level, then you always have to be careful of that image that you yourself carefully curated. So for you to go up in the midst, you know, in front of everybody, like really the world, and do something like that, and then be yelling from the crowd afterwards, to me, it's just unacceptable. I've seen a lot of takes on this that was bizarre. I saw one chick say, the fact that we're not supporting Will doing that means we hate black women. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah.
But for me, the reality of it, and that's why I did my class today like I did, and that's why I did my live the way I did, is because I really feel like when you're put in a situation like that, where you have to, you're given a choice that you have to retaliate with violence, you really got to think twice, three times, four times before you do that, because you just don't know what you're doing and the effects it's going to have. The reality of it is that he could have caught that dude later. He could have caught him in the dressing room. He could have did all sorts of stuff. He could have sent goons after him. But to do that in front of everybody in the Oscars, to me, was just idiotic. And I don't care what anybody says. Because if you have ever been in the public light and you've had a reputation to protect and a name to protect, then you know that this particular thing, this is an Oscar that you're getting for something that you worked very hard for. It's recognition and achievement, and you blew it. And the last thing I'll say is this. I remember, I want to say a year and a half ago, I had a dude graduate from my domestic violence class, and he asked me to go put his certificate in his mailbox. So I did that on like a Saturday. So he came to the class on Tuesday, tried to act like I didn't put the certificate in his mailbox. This dude started screaming on me and almost threatening me in front of my whole class. Members of my class wanted to flip him upside down. I basically stopped the class, dismissed it, and I drove to his house. He drove right behind me. When he saw me go directly to his mailbox, then he understood that I was not lying. Somebody must have took the certificate out of his mailbox. But that could have gone a different way. I could have pulled my knife out on him. I could have fought him. I could have had dudes in the class fight him. You got to keep your head together. And if you read Will Smith's book, that's all he talks about is his growth and development, learning how to be mature. How are we supposed to jack anything you said in that book now after how you just played yourself? So that's kind of the way I look at it.
I agree with all of that, every single word. Thank you so much. Yes, yes.
All right.
Thank you, bro.
Wendell.
Yeah. You know, I think in all of this, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda, and how it would have been best to handle it one way or the other, I think there's a human element that you know, it bears you know, talking about and making sure that it's brought to mind, because hindsight is always 20/20, and in the absence of information, it's easy to make things up. None of us knows truly what was in the mind of Will Smith. None of us knows truly what was in the mind of Chris Rock or Jada. All we know is what's in our mind. And it's easy for us to project what we think or say we would do if we were in that position. But the fact of the matter is we weren't. And so do we, you know, what is going to be the highest and best utilization of this situation? You know, is it going to be to, you know, demonize, vilify, and find fault, or is it going to be to actually try to learn something? And what I see in this is that vulnerability, when someone is vulnerable, when someone is made to feel or believe that that their vulnerability doesn't matter, that they're too big to fail, that they can, no matter what it is, you know, that they do, someone's going to say something about it, and everybody's going to have an opinion, then, you know, the only regulation that they're doing at that point is self-regulation, and that can go up to a certain point. But I think all of us have experienced at some point in our life where we have had a fuck it moment, where it doesn't matter anymore what the consequences may be. And making a decision in an emotional state like that, it opens you up to all kinds of scrutiny. And, you know, but none of that matters in that particular moment. And I think that Will had a fuck it moment at the Oscars. Probably, it definitely was not the best place to have that moment, but he had it nonetheless. And so what is going to be the what's going to be the highest and best use of that moment? Is it going to be to say, you know what, he was less than a man, or, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, or do we extend him some grace as a human being and look to try to get the brother some help? Because honestly, out of all the toxic relationships that Will Smith is in and has experienced, I think his biggest toxic relationship is the relationship with the fans, is with the people. Everybody, regardless of celebrity, everybody is now his, you know, his judge. And that's a lot of weight for any one man to carry. You know, from Jada to August to all the other things that have happened in this man's life, how he manages his relationship, open marriage or not, everybody got something to say. And yeah, he has in large part opened himself up to that, you know, to that scrutiny. But I don't think that it was from a glory seeking or attention seeking perspective, even though that may be a side effect. So yeah, I mean this there's a lot of things that you know he's shouldering. I don't make excuses for him. You know, I don't make an excuse for him, you know, hitting Chris Rock. But outside of the excuses, there's always a reason. And we can either try to, we can look and try to see what the reason is. And understanding a reason doesn't excuse it. It just does exactly that. It gives you understanding. And that's something that everybody, fans, critics, detractors, supporters, can all take from and be like, you know what, this is a human being having a human moment in time, maybe not measuring up to a particular standard that everyone would think he's supposed to live up to. But outside of being an actor and all that stuff, first and foremost, he's a human being. So.
All right. So.
That's what I have to say.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to finish this up with the last thing I'm going to ask. And then we're going to move back into the regular podcast because everybody's here. And you guys can participate or not because, you know, we got some yelling to do. We got some things to talk about. What do you think the fallout is going to be? We're going to take three comments and we're going to move forward. What do you think the fallout is going to be for Will? And how do you think Chris Rock will be able to recover from this slap?
I personally think that Chris will recover quicker than anybody. Because he just was doing what he does and was more or less in that situation, the victim of it. So I think Chris will recover pretty quickly. Will's PR is going to need some work because it was so out of character for who we know him to be. But in some respect, I think Jada's reputation is going to take a hit because she could have stepped up and said something to Will and kept him from walking up there. She could have, you know, didn't protected her husband in that moment, but she didn't. And so the person who's going to take the greatest blow is going to be Will. Because regardless to whether it was a scripted thing or not, when he came back to accept that Oscar, his spirit was broken. And even if they had planned it and thought it was going to be funny or thought it was going to be whatever, and it turned into what it turned into, it whatever the case may be, whether it was scripted or not, Will regretted doing it, and you can see that in him.
Another opinion?
I think Chris is going to take this and he's going to generate some revenue with it because he's definitely going to use it in an act. He's going to get on stage and he's going to talk about
that
it. for some time. He's going to capitalize on it, and he's going to use this. Will, on the other hand, he needs help. He does need help, because it's like Wendell said, we are still human, regardless of status, money, whatever, wherever you live, we are still human. We go through things. We feel things. We are emotional, curious creatures. Okay, and sometimes we have that quote-unquote bucket moment. You have enough of that bullshit, regardless of where it came from, where it stems from, okay? The closest get the most, and that's basically what it was. The man needs help a lot. He, like I said, he has been an advocate for nonviolence and not using profanity. For years, and he just, you know, pressure burst pipes. Eventually, our patience gets filled to capacity, and our capacity to deal with things in a sensible manner makes us react in a senseless manner. So, you know, it is what it is. The man needs help, and Jada needs to get her shit together and stop manipulating him and using her. The power of the fact that he is butt crazy in love with her still, over him. She uses that. She knows she can get him like that, okay? And I do believe she should have grabbed his hand. She knew. You know your person. You know your partner. When she seen him go and rise up, she already knew what the deal was, okay? And she should have grabbed him and said, no, baby, it's good. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Okay, and leave it at that. People gonna be people, man. That's all I've got to say about that.
Can I tie it?
I have one last opinion.
I want to tie it into Marvel, but there's actually a Marvel angle to this. So Will Smith, this is a Mysterio moment for him, because once you put that out to the public that you're gonna smack people if they say something about Jada, you're going to have a lot of people looking for a payday. So this is just like Peter Parker's identity being revealed, and now all of the villains coming for him. So that's going to be an issue. You're going to have people that's going to be looking for lawsuits, and they're going to try him. They're going to try to provoke him, and they're going to want to get smacked. That's exactly what they want. So I see that. And then also, I just saw a report of Chris Rock, like his concerts are already selling out. So he's already, reaping the benefits of it financially.
Oh, he's absolutely right. A target now, for sure.
Well, it's going to happen, but you know what? We're gonna close out this discussion so that we can do it. We got everybody in here. You guys are welcome to stay to listen to this thing, because I know. We're going to be throwing some bows. I know J. Rob and them are about to march back in here because they was in their Tiffany chat going crazy. Going crazy. He was like, when is this going to be over so we can get back? Okay. Well, we're concluding that. So we welcome all opinions for the Marvel versus DC, because I got to make sure I take advantage, because Paul Kane don't come over here every day. And, you know, and of course, Van is in the background, but he's like, oh, my mic. He's on with my mic, but we're going to talk about some Marvel versus DC. So before I get into it, anything else, I know where Dawood stands. I know where Paul stands. So, Wendell, are you Marvel or DC?
So, I am Marvel. Yeah, I'm Marvel. I'm not anti-DC. But I'm definitely more of a Marvel guy than I am DC. I think that Marvel,
okay.
I mean that DC got some hellified villains. I like villains more than heroes, but yeah, I'm Marvel.
All right, Dennis, Marvel or DC?
Well, you know, I'm Switzerland, but if you force me to pick a side, Marvel just has a feel they have more extensive universe, I guess I'd have to go with Marvel.
Okay. Lisa Lips, Marvel or DC?
I'm a Stan Lee fan, but I'm neither Marvel nor DC. I don't keep up with all this
stuff. Okay, so you just going to stay there. And we know, Danielle, which one you are?
I like everybody.
I'm not choosing side.
I am more of a star. I'm more with Stan Lee, though.
You said, boy, you Stan Lee. I'm like, oh, you more Stan Lee. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to be neutral. It's trying to be good. All right, so let's get to it. All right, Paul Kane. You ready?
Of course.
Paul, you're... All right, so Paul. So listen. All right, so Paul caught me out there because he like, first of all, I messed up because I put four. This is actually five. This is actually single. Paul messed me up because Paul, a year ago to the time, he said, listen, you ain't going to be talking all that junk when they get the Snyder cut out here, right? Before anybody else said it, he was the first person talking about it. Dawood, you my witness, right?
Yep.
And I had to publicly apologize to him because he was right. Now, we still disagree on a lot of things when it comes to it. But we're gonna talk about right now who has got the best black characters. Point blank. DC or Marvel. So Paul Kane, and I know you got Dawood is in tow because y'all consummate DC heads. Why do you think DC has the best black characters? And I need the explanation before we come in here with Marvel start weighing in. And then we also got to talk about villain for villain, because thank you, Wendell, for bringing that up, because we're going to have to talk about that too. But why? Why do you think DC has the best black characters?
First and foremost, you know, thank you for your time tonight. I'd just like to take a moment of silence so we can all recognize and celebrate the fact that the Snyder Cut also won an Oscar. It is an Oscar award-winning film, and Zack Snyder is an Oscar award-winning director. So, you know, I just like give a second for that. Okay, now, the reason that DC clearly has better black heroes than Marvel is because Marvel only has one fire superhero that's black. They have Black Panther. I'll give you that. Cool. No problem. Outside of that, all their heroes, black heroes, are sidekicks and this, that, and the third. DC has not only Cyborg was in Justice League and Black Lightning and stuff like that, but they have the whole Icon imprint, which is all black superheroes. Icon, Rocket, Static Shock, all these people. So there's an entire world of black heroes from black writers that is in the DC universe. Again, Marvel has Black Panther, which is dope, but outside of Black Panther and Storm, it gets kind of quiet. Like, all the Avengers are all white people, and every iteration is mostly
Falcon
white people. So, you know.
They got Falcon, though, bro.
As a sidekick, Falcon wasn't his own person. Falcon was Captain America's best friend. He didn't come in as a main hero on his own. He didn't even get his own show. He got three Captain America movies where Falcon was a sidekick. Then they got a show, and they still added a white guy next to him because they wouldn't even give him his own show. And he was Captain America, actually, at the time. So a black man actually became Captain America and still couldn't get his own show. They had to give him more white people. Come on, bro.
Dawood, do you have anything to add?
He make a good point, man. I can't argue.
Yeah. Do I have anything to add? Well, I see you stuck me on the DC side, but I want to make it very clear that I am a old school DC comic head, but the DC movies I'm not necessarily in alignment with. The Snyder Cut I did like. I did like the original Justice League that was, I think it was Joss Whedon. I forget exactly who directed that one. But I don't know. You know, I think that Marvel definitely has done better movies than DC. The reason why I liked DC when I was younger as a comic book head, it had a lot more variety. I think that Marvel was trying to reproduce the same character 1,000 times. And then there was a point, and I don't know how Big Brother Paul is. Let me just say this before we go any further. Y'all out here who are listening to this show and you don't live in the capital region, you don't know who this guy is that's on this line. This guy is a monster. He is a powerful community change agent, and I never got to say this to his face or on the show with him. So, yeah, he's commenting on DC, and we're going to get kind of heated. But in real life, this is a really good man. Anyway, that being said, for myself, I think that I respect the Falcon character. I like the Falcon character. I like the Black Panther character. But it is true. It stops there. So you really can't say that Marvel has better characters than DC, because you only really got two. And that's it. So DC would definitely have to get the edge there. Who else does Marvel have, bro? Are we talking about the movie universe or are we talking about the comic universe?
No, we talking about comic books. We'll get into the movie universe in a second, but we talk about who got the best characters. Dennis, do you want to weigh in?
With the Black, I mean, I can't refute that. That was a powerful argument he laid out. I'm still here just trying to rack my brain. I was going to say Storm, but he shot that one out. So with Storm out and Luke Cage. Yeah, after Storm, Luke Cage, and Black Panther, yeah, it's not looking good. Not looking good. And I
Luke
can't
Cage
even
is like a one-dimensional character, too.
I can't even do Cloak and Dagger because then that, he was like a drug addict, I think. Not necessarily a hero.
Wow. Y'all still go out like that? Yeah.
Now, I need to remind That's y'all, crazy. Though, if you read comics during the 90s, so bad for Marvel that they started having like 5 Wolverine books and like 20 Punisher books. So
yeah.
It went through a really rough patch until the movies came.
Yeah, people, like, they become a prisoner of the moment, and they forget that even when the MCU very, very first started, that was when Batman, The Dark Knight and all that was coming out. So DC and Batman as a brand was still banging. But the DCEU started much later, and at that point, the MCU had already picked up steam and was rocking and rolling, and then, you know, Warner Brothers ruined everything about DC movies. But, yeah, DC all day.
All right, listen, first of all, so we talking about this and Dan's not here. We're not just one-dimensional with Luke Cage and different people. Y'all forgot about Captain Marvel. You forgot about Black Goliath. And maybe these characters weren't taken out. We didn't talk about Blue Marvel. You know, there are more than just them. They may not be in the mainstream, but at the same time, you know, even still with other than Cyborg and the Justice League, you know, we didn't get a chance to see a Black Lightning appear or be a part of that whole thing that was happening. We didn't get to see a lot of the different things that was going on with each Black character that was happening. So that in itself was funny, but we also did talk about Blade, right? So we're looking at Blade. We're looking at, huh?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Yeah.
You know, and technically, if we look at it, Blade is responsible for the world-building model that Marvel adapted in order to build up for its movies. Now, I will agree with Paul Kane and say that Warner Brothers fucked up the movies. You know, but they did right by the animation. I will never refute DC animation
is leaps and bounds over Marvel animation. I have no idea what Marvel is
much
doing
better.
This anime.
That's definitely true.
No,
but when you said something,
much better.
You said something about you said how could we forget about X, Y, and Z, this person, that person. We didn't forget about them. Marvel forgot about them. Because when Marvel made every one of their Netflix shows, they didn't think about them. But when DC went to make TV shows, they made Black Lightning, where he has a smart black wife and they have two smart black kids. And they have like 7 seasons of that. So there's an effort to even showcase these people. Like Marvel doesn't put them on TV, doesn't put them in the movies. They're not like even main characters in their worlds. Even people like Blue Marvel, he's not involved in like real big storylines or crossovers and this, that, and the third. He's still like a B-list character and whatnot. So the Blade point was strong, though. I can't even argue with Blade. You're all right about that.
But I mean, with anything else, right? So, I'm gonna chalk this up to y'all because DC, I'm gonna give you the win on that one. We're gonna give you the win on the DC having better black characters, you know, for that because it does number in what you call this, and then you can actually pull out to the idea of what put out because Black Lightning, Cyborg, all the different people. Although they're shitting on Ray, what you call it now for Cyborg. Even though they're sitting on him for that, but you know, it is what it is. As a matter of fact,
they're sitting on him because they didn't give him
Warner
a full movie yet.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Paul, didn't you bring that up last time?
Yeah, absolutely. So on the Justice League movie, you know, that's a well, big difference in the Snyder cut and the original cut is that Cyborg had a lot more footage. It was a lot more about his family, his journey with his father and everything that he went through. And I guess when Zack Snyder left and they started changing the movie, Cyborg as a black character was one of the first to get cut completely. Flash's girlfriend Iris, who was black, got her scene cut. There was an Asian superhero who had some lines, you know, the Atom, and they cut his part. So it's like when WB went through to make time and trim the movie, they cut all the colored people parts. And then when Ray Fisher said something about it, he said he didn't want to play Cyborg like Quasimodo and just be like sliding around like a monster. They said that the people at WB told him nobody wants to see an angry black man at the box office, so just do what we say. They said that when they finally edited the movie, they lightened up his skin tone. So there was, like, mad problems with how he was treated. And then when he tried to say something about it, they called him a liar. He was supposed to be in a new Flash movie, but they wrote him out of the movie completely. So now he refuses to make movies with them. They refuse to work with him. But his whole thing is, that was mad disrespectful to everybody involved. Like, that's not okay. But he called them on it, so now they're fighting.
Yeah, aren't they having problems with Superman, too, right?
That's just a money issue because Henry Cavill, he's a bigger star now. So he says he'll come back as Superman. He wants to be Superman. He loves Superman, da-da-da. But he wants like $30 million, $50 million, like Robert Downey Jr. money. And WB is like, listen, we haven't made that much money off these movies to be writing those Robert Downey Jr. checks yet. And he's like, well, I don't care. I got The Witcher now. They're asking me to be in Mission Impossible. Like, I'm booming. Like, you got to pay me. So that's really just a big money issue with them.
Wow. So that's absolutely wild. That is absolutely wild. All right, so on to the next thing. Cause we're running out of time rapidly. I even know it's moving like that. All right, so y'all know what the Sentry is?
Yeah, fake Superman.
Except fake Superman. Marvel's answer to Superman. So, who do you think will win a fight between Sentry and Superman?
Superman.
Why?
Because Superman as a character is written to win. Like, his whole thing is, you know, he's the golden standard, this, that, and the third. So at his strongest, his powers and his power level and what he's able to do, it doesn't allow him to be beat, and that's by design. I'm not saying that it's fair. I'm not saying it's the best thing.
But Superman a million goes and sleeps in the sun for like a bunch of years and then comes back on like God level, can read thoughts and shift planets and all this other craziness. It's like, bro, that person can't be beat, and he wasn't designed to be beat. So Superman will win, not even necessarily off a technical thing, but because of who the characters are written to be at their core.
Well, I see the Sentry. The Sentry has no limit to what he can do, although he does come with his own villain, which is another aspect of his personality. But as long as his mind stays intact, there's nothing that can stop him from doing anything. And I do mean anything. So anything that he conceives of, any power that he thinks that he wants to have, he can have. And I think that's a little bit different than going to sleep in the sun, because, you know, Superman has to deal with situations that, you know, anything else. And any aspect of Superman being written for is one thing. You know, his powers have limitations. He has a weakness, which is kryptonite. So if the kryptonite is discovered, you know, where the Sentry literally has no weakness except for his mental illness. That's it.
Yeah.
But you know, who do you really think will win this fight?
Himself. You know, Sentry's weakness is himself. Like, he can't, he gets in fights with himself, and sometimes he's scared to come out the house. Like, there was some fights where literally his mental illness, he would not come out the house to fight. So there's mad ways he can lose. He's fragile.
I just said his mental illness, but if he came out to fight, what could really stop him versus Superman? Seriously. If they had to stand toe-to-toe, how would that actually change anything?
It just, so for me, it just depends on where they're at. If there's some place where there's sunlight, then Superman doesn't have limits. If they're in a place where it's dark on the moon or something else or something like that, then maybe Sentry might squeak out a win.
He said maybe a squeak out a win. All right, we're going to move forward. J-Rob, I see you.
What's up, B? We talking comic books, or we on that other shit?
We talking comic books now. Oh.
Okay, I'll stay.
Talking comic books. He's like, I don't want to deal with that shit. Anyway, So J-Rob, real quick, let's go into this. Who's winning the fight, Cyborg or Iron Man?
Cyborg or Iron Man? Cyborg.
Why Cyborg?
Only because his capabilities to adapt to anybody's current technology supersedes what people are currently doing on their realm of Earth, if you will. Since he's in Earth 236 or Earth 62, whichever one it is, he pretty much can adapt. So after taking a couple of hits, he's like, okay, I know what this is. I can pretty much remake the same thing that he's got right now. The guy's a mega op computer with feet.
I don't know. Dennis, who you think? Who you got?
If they're at the Oscars, then I have to say Iron Man is going to win.
That's not a good matchup for Iron Man at all. He's entirely tech-based. Like bro said, you got like 3 seconds before Jarvis is Jerome all of a sudden and telling you what to do. Like, Iron Man doesn't stand a chance. That's a fundamental weakness that Cyborg is the best person to take advantage of. He can't win.
He's a quantum computer. He can pretty much figure it out instantaneously.
Yeah, well, that's,
and at the same token, Iron Man's suit of armor has a battery, and if the battery wears out, because Cyborg can remove that however he so chooses, and you hear Jarvis say, "Sir, we're at 2%, 1%," and then he's done.
Well, that's why I introduced the handicap, because if he's at the Oscars, most of the Cyborg powers are going to be written out anyway. So it'll be a much more even match.
Are we going back to the Oscars?
I'm still trying to think of some more black characters. Would Spawn count as a black character?
Spawn is a black character.
Okay. So I got one.
Anyway, speaking of which, all right, so I'm gonna skip past this Shang-Chi versus Karate Kid thing, because I don't even know how I put that in there. That's, you know, because Karate Kid knows all the kung fu up to the 30th century versus Shang-Chi. It's just not gonna work out. Anyway, it's not gonna work out. All right, so let's talk about this movie release schedule that they got coming up. Hold on, let me pull DC's real quick. So for DC, everything that they're releasing, and hold on for a second.
They should have released it 15 years ago.
Right, hold on. And 2022. All right, so here we got. Hold for a second. Batman released. We got DC Super Pets. I really don't count that as anything else. But July 29th, Black Adam. You got Flash, November 4th. And Aquaman 2, December 16th. All right. That's what we have so far that's happening. And then following that, you get Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. All right, well, that's supposed to be following, I guess, shortly after that. That's weird. So I guess they pushed it back. And then I guess there's supposed to be something else. Shazam is supposed to be coming out. So
Shazam came out. It lasted for 2.5 weeks.
That versus Marvel's joint. So versus Marvel's, which is Marvel has Morbius
the living vampire.
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse, Thor: Love and Thunder, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, Moon Knight is coming out as a TV show, She-Hulk is coming out as a TV show, Ms. Marvel coming out as a TV show, and apparently Secret Invasion, I Am Groot, The Guardians of the Galaxy is doing some holiday specials. And that's what's going on. So let's talk to these release dates. So who do you think is going to have a better release date? Number one. So y'all want to do a movie by movie, or you want to go heads up? So Paul Kane, what do you want to do?
I'll go overall, right? Because it's super easy. Marvel has been killing. They were on a tear, you know, and they peaked at Endgame. That was like their, you know, culmination of all their movies, all their storylines. Cool, no problem. And they executed great. And they made several billion dollars because of it. Cool. But after that, you don't have Cap anymore. You don't have Iron Man anymore. Those are two really big hits. Now they don't have Black Panther either. That's another really big hit. So all of their movies that are coming out right now, and all their shows and projects, they're not their top-tier characters. Do they have the potential to be? Maybe. It could happen. But I'm not really sure. So She-Hulk, okay. Moon Knight, okay. Not super top-tier. Doctor Strange 2, okay, maybe. Some hype off of the multiverse and we're in a place, and okay, that's good. But the last one didn't get close to a billion, and he's not like a top-tier number one Avenger. Then after that, there's no trailer, no information at all about Black Panther 2, so that'll do well, but don't really know.
Then you got Thor. So there's not really much. They're in a rebuilding phase. So they have a lot of stuff that's coming up the pipeline that's not, you know, $1 billion guaranteed success. Whereas DC is finally starting to get, not things right, but they've managed to get scattered hits in different places. So this Batman movie that just came out was a hit. It did great at the box office, this, that, and the third. Then you got Black Adam that's going to have The Rock in it, and all his movies are big blockbuster, goofy movies or whatever, so that'll probably do well. Then you have The Flash, which is a top-tier movie, and that's a multiverse movie, and that's the first Flash movie ever, so that's going to do well. Then you have Aquaman 2 that's coming out. The first one made $1 billion, so it stands to reason that this one, again, everybody included, is probably going to do well again. So everything that's coming up the DC pipeline stands a much larger chance for success just because Marvel's rebuilding right now, which is fine, and DC has a couple of random things that, I don't know, could work out very well. So overall, I feel like DC's current timeline is better than Marvel's.
And as long as these movies that DC is pushing don't turn out like Wonder Woman 84, they're going to be good. But these are characters they should have introduced 10 years ago.
All right, so what do you think? Wonder Woman 84 versus Captain Marvel, which was the better movie?
Captain Marvel. Well, I'm a DC head, but
okay.
Captain Marvel was much better than Wonder Woman.
Okay.
While I understand the argument for Captain Marvel, I feel like Wonder Woman 84, it was an effort to be different, and it's kind of special for that reason. Like, it's, you know, the effort to put in the time, like, for a reason a lot of people didn't like it, but it tried to be like the old Superman movies, like almost shot for shot,
mm-hmm.
when them fighting in the White House and stuff. You know, a lot of the way the scenes were shot, a lot of the filters on the cameras. You know, it was meant to be that trip down nostalgia lane, and I kind of like how it fits in with Wonder Woman's, I hope she gets a trilogy. You know, the first movie was like a World War One thing, and it feels like the second movie was like, you know, this. And Captain Marvel just feels like another Marvel movie with a different actress in it. So Wonder Woman 84 just works for me because I feel like it has its own place. Like, it tried to be a thing, and maybe it wasn't perfect at everything, but it had some good emotional moments, like, you know. So I got to go with Wonder Woman.
Okay, you going with Wonder Woman? I'm not going with Dennis. What do you got? Wonder Woman versus Captain Marvel. Which one you got?
I think I would go with the Wonder Woman. I'm very positive.
Wonder Woman 84 over Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
I can't do that. I'm sorry. I got to go with Captain Marvel over Wonder Woman in 1984. The first Wonder Woman movie was much better for me than it was in 1984. The only thing about 1984 that I felt had merit was Cheetah. I felt Cheetah had, you know, very good quality scene stealing. I felt she embodied the villain properly, but I thought that the plot and the ending of 1984 was probably one of the goofiest things I'd ever seen in my life. I was just like, yeah, nah, this is not what's supposed to happen. And in the same breath, Captain Marvel, what I did enjoy, I enjoyed the villainy of what you call it. I forgot the actor's name, but I enjoyed the villainy of that. Like, you know, but Peter was a much better villain for Wonder Woman because of the point of her discovering herself, you know.
Right.
Discovering, because the more she became Cheetah, the more she took away from Wonder Woman. And so that whole pass off, and, you know, she got into her sensuality, like the discovery for her, which was much better than, you know, Carol Danvers discovering that she was a tool, you know, and everything else was going on. And I just feel like the action scenes between the two were different, but I think the plot line for Captain Marvel and the things that happened was better. So in that sense, so better villain and discovery of the villain in 84, Captain Marvel, better writing, fits better, Easter eggs, all that good stuff that was happening. Oh, sorry about that.
What Easter egg was in Captain Marvel? There was the cat with the like Tesseract, but there wasn't like
mad Easter eggs.
Yeah, the Easter eggs, you know, the Skrulls.
Yeah.
You know, Secret Invasion is coming, man. Secret Invasion is coming. It's happening. It's about to go down. But more importantly, all right, we're going to have to get to the other thing because I know people are talking about the whole with Batman, and I guess we got to talk about it quite seriously. Hold on. I wasn't sure if Van wanted me to open his line up. But
no, he can't talk.
If you want me to do that, yeah. Oh, he can't talk? Okay.
No.
So, all right, so you said that Thor, what you call it. So, allow me to do this with what you just did. All right, so you said you're not thinking about every major character. All right, so the Flash movie, I'm going to give you the Flash movie because that's going to be based off of Flashpoint. And I think that's going to be stupendously stupid. And I'm not going to front on myself and tell you that I didn't geek when I saw Black Hawk. I super geeked when I seen that. I geeked out when I seen it, right?
Let's hope Hawkman can live up to that.
At the same time, you said what?
Let's hope Hawkman lives up to it.
No, what I'm saying when they did the commercial, I seen the Super Bowl commercial and I saw the wings spread out and I saw it was a Black Hawkman. Just like when I saw a giant Atom Smasher, that geeked me out. You know, you know I'm like an all-star squadron. Like, out of the DC titles, I loved All-Star Squadron. Everybody, like, if you know me, you know that was, like, my comic book. That was, like, the one comic book that I stayed on. I collected every issue up into like, 100 and something because I was just on it like that, you know. As far as DC characters, I'm more Justice Society than Justice League. You know, Dr. Midnight, you know. Sandman, classic J. Garrick Crash, you know, that type of stuff. So I have to be a fan of those things. But at the same time, we're talking about movies. And, you know, Paul, since you brought it up, you said you don't know about DC characters. The one thing that you have to understand about Marvel can take side characters and turn them into main characters, as evidenced by Guardians of the Galaxy. Can you give me that?
Yeah,
so Guardians
absolutely.
Of the Galaxy
they've
wasn't
done
the original.
A great job with them.
I'm sorry, I apologize, bro.
No worries. I just said that Marvel's done a great job about making side characters into great characters, making us care about people we didn't know about previously. They've done a great job.
All right, and I think that since we're talking about, I think Morbius is going to be a monster. You know, because if Venom can become a monster, right, the way it has, and even inject into the Spider Universe, I think that Morbius is going to be a good character.
No,
I know the Doctor Strange, but huh?
Morbius used to be a major character in Marvel.
Yeah, nah. So two things: one, Venom popped because of China. China loves monster movies, right? So if you look at the Venom box office. It made a majority of its money overseas, and that's why it got greenlit for a sequel. Its box office numbers in the U.S. was not enough alone to justify a sequel. But because of the overseas numbers, because they love kaiju movies, monster movies, and whatnot, it did well. Great, no problem. So we end up getting Venom 2. Venom 2, pandemic, yes, this and the third, but the numbers still wasn't great for Venom 2. So there's no real, like, belief that Venom, everybody just loves Venom and this and the third. And then the Morbius movie, the reviews are coming in and everything is horrible. Everybody's saying the plot is horrible, the acting is horrible, the writing, the post-credit scene. It's getting absolutely destroyed right now in the press. So, yeah, that's bad.
But there's been other movies that the press has destroyed that actually wind up doing really well. Mm. It's a toss-up because the fans pretty much determine whether or not it's going to flop or not.
Right. I don't disagree with that, but
it's concerning because I'm not, it's not like Wall Street Journal things that I'm reading. Excuse me. It's like, you know, nerdy YouTubers that like I watch when it's like Batman's birthday, they'll do like a Batman tribute video and like cover Batman's storylines, and they're real nerds, you know? So I find comfort in that. So I watch all those nerd channels, and it's really a nerd community. Those people have gone to see the movies, and they're like, no, this is really bad. Like, one of the worst, like, Sony movies, this, that, and the third. And Sony doesn't have an incredible record with the Spider-Man franchise at all, because the first, the Amazing Spider-Man movies came out, and now everybody loves Andrew Garfield. But back in the day when they came out, they didn't make as much money as they should have. They weren't super successful. That's why we didn't get Amazing Spider-Man 3, because they didn't do a good job with that. And then with Venom, they kind of got lucky with that, and the second movie didn't do as well. And now we got Morbius that isn't going to do well. So I don't think they've handled their Spider-Man stuff well at all. The only reason that they're surviving is because they made their joint deal with Marvel, and when Marvel made a Spider-Man movie, billions, boom, and Sony's been like, oh yeah, this is great, let's have that trickle over to our side. But it hasn't worked because their movies aren't as good. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Listen, I'm just going
to
say,
there's some things that could have done better.
I think I just think Love and Thunder is going to be tremendously huge because, number one, we're going to see Jane become Thor. All right, Taika Waititi, when anything that he's ever done in the Thor thing has always turned out to be the best thing that happens, whether he's voicing a character, doing things. But he has a way of seeing Thor in a way that makes Thor not just heroic when he decides to fight, but also funny, the human side of him, you know. Like, even with the last thing, the Fat Thor thing was hilarious. I don't care what nobody tells me. And the shit worked out. Nobody thought it was funny, but it worked out. But going through the DC schedule, you know,
wait,
I don't know what Black
Adam
is going
to
do. Yeah, go ahead.
Taika Waititi is super duper duper successful, and that could not possibly frustrate me more. I hate Thor Ragnarok and everything it stands for. It is the exact opposite of where superhero movies need to be going. I want our superhero movies to grow and evolve and become actual works of art that are emotional and have stakes and are real things. Thor Ragnarok was a happy meal with bright colors, where the God of Thunder got electrocuted, where Hulk farted in the bathtub and there were bubbles. I hate that movie. I hate it. I hate that it was successful. And I hate it. I hate it.
It was more Planet Hulk than Ragnarok. And I'm like, why do y'all mix these stories? Why the hell are y'all mixing 100%. These stories?
And I was like, that's disrespectful to the Hulk.
Very. You know, and
yep.
Get it. In Planet Hulk, when they described what happened, I'm like, nah, the dude was on a rampage. And of course, there's people missing because Reed Richards is the one who designed the rocket to contain the Hulk for as best as he could before it goes off course, and no one ever saw that storyline.
Exactly.
The Fantastic
Four
is out of
ruined
the,
that
well,
storyline.
Because the Fantastic Four hadn't been introduced yet.
Yeah,
yes, they have been.
Fine.
The last
that's
one was with Michael P. Jordan as the torch.
No, well,
not,
I mean,
that's
not,
fine.
But
no
that,
matter
yeah,
what.
That's,
once you do that
they're
story,
not,
you choose to do that story
that.
Without the Fantastic Four, without Iron Man, without anybody else, you ruin that story. And that's one of Hulk's best stories. And they completely destroyed it because they'd rather make a comedy movie with Thor and just add Hulk into it. So we lose, that's comic book blasphemy that we lose those stories.
Absolutely. And that's why
listen.
You got people who don't know the storyline doing these movie stories. And for people who are purists who know the storylines, you're like, now you're making a bastard out of the story. Why?
Well, even if they made a bastard, it was still successful. It did numbers. It did numbers.
It was successful
but
because of...
I'm just saying.
It did numbers because of the name, and it did numbers because of the character. The storyline for purists who know the stories, I sat there and was like, this is complete
bullshit. That's because you're... But that's because you're purists. See, the funny thing is, when you're a purist, you're a purist. But if you introduce a character without all the people, like, my thing is this, right? Me being a purist, me being a comic book head, you know how much, you know, we know that we're never going to get the things that we want in all the movies. We know that somebody's going to come along, pervert it, make a different change, and do all kinds of different things. It's going to be some strange shit, right? So we know that. Just like, you know, we've been waiting for this Power Pack movie forever. Like, I've been waiting for the Power Pack movie forever, right? Because I grew up, I collect the Power Pack comic book. Don't ask me why. I did it. But.
Okay. Why, I was going to ask why.
But. Yeah. Don't ask me why. All right, but you know, it's going to be hotly contested. Anything else, much like it's going to be hotly contested, who's going to be the next Wolverine? They keep saying it's going to be Charlie Hunnam, right? Hunnam, I don't know what his name is right now, but they keep saying it's him, right? Right, but we know Wolverines be short, hairy, stocky, you know, low to the ground, agile, you know. Charlie Hunnam is tall. You know what I'm saying? He's tall. Or taller. It doesn't seem to work those things out. Each character that comes in, you have to embody that. Like Ezra Miller's The Flash, you know, versus The Flash on TV. Ezra Miller is like head and shoulders over that because he embodies the nervousness, but at the same time, the Barry Allen of the comic books is tall with blonde hair and is very confident about what he is as a police scientist, you know, as a forensics or whatever he, you know, whatever they call him at this point. But
when he first got his powers, he was unsure of himself. And that's where they're doing his Barry.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
he didn't know what he could and couldn't do.
It's just different stuff.
Yeah.
It's just different stuff. All right, so. Paul K, what's your long shot movie that's on the DC schedule that we're not seeing right now that you think is going to change the world of DC when they get to it? What movie do you have?
You know what? I think you're actually overlooking. I think you're overlooking DC Super Pets. Like, low key,
I am looking over that.
I feel like I watched the trailer. And Kevin Hart was, like, doing a sarcastic, like, Batman thing, and it was funny. Like, I can't even hold you. Like, I laughed. And I'm like, you know what? If I laugh, then I can see kids going to see it and parents laughing. And if everybody kind of laughs, I can see that being a sleeper hit that, like, does well and sells merchandise and becomes a thing. And although it's not, you know, the movies that I want to see in my life, you know, I want my Snyderverse. I do appreciate the world building and the brand building because DC needs those wins. So I think DC Super Pets could mess around and be like a big win for DC that has everybody, you know, even more in DC gear and DC dogs and DC gear and DC this. Like, so I think as a brand, it could be a real good win and money-wise.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Dennis. Are you there? Oh, Dennis dropped. Oh, wow. It kicked him off. That's crazy. J-Rob, who do you got?
Black Adam. I'm very curious to see. I would have said Moon Knight, but Moon Knight is going to be a Disney Plus thing. Black Adam is going to be a major movie. I want to see what this does. The storyline is really, really good. I want to see what it does. The storyline is strong. having The Rock just makes people want to come see it because The Rock is who he is. However, it does have a strong storyline. I am also very hopeful for Mobius. Granted, they didn't call it like in the book, Mobius the Living Vampire. For me, what would have been absolutely outrageous during the course of Mobius is to introduce him to Eric, who actually becomes Blade because Mobius bites him inadvertently because he needed the blood. And that's where the term "the thirst always wins" comes from, because Eric didn't, Mobius didn't want to bite him. He had to. And they got into a fight, and that's how he got bitten. But then it becomes, you know, something else and turns into Blade. But I know they're not going to put that together. So. And even with the new guy that they got coming to play Blade, what would be really hot is something that Wesley Snipes put out. He said it would be dope if they showed him as Blade like 110 years old because he doesn't, he ages like a vampire and he's got long gray dreads and he meets up with the new guy who's been called Blade through some other means and they introduce each other, but Wesley's like, he's not in a position to help him, but he can guide the guy like Whistler did for him. But, Marvel's on something different. I just want to see this movie and see what it does. Makeup-wise, the guy looks just like the comic book. So I'm the way the second Hulk movie did, he looked just like the guy in the comic book. So I'm very hopeful.
I'm going to go my long shot, and I think it's going to be absolutely crazy when it comes to that, is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. And the reason why I'm picking that movie is because, for a fact, they're going to introduce Stature, which is Cassie Lang, which is Scott Lang's daughter. And we're going to see the giant effect, you know, her and the pin particles moving at that clip. And it's going to be one of the first introductions to the Young Avengers, which they did put in the last Avenger movie, where they had that, you know, they put all the different people in there, and they've been basically building the Young Avengers beneath our eyes with everything else. Even in Falcon and the Winter Soldier with the nephew, when he came out and he spoke, like, he's going to become Patriot. Like, the threads and the Easter eggs have been sown for this to happen. So Cassie Lang is one of the first, because Kate Bishop has already appeared in Hawkeye. And so the Young Avengers is going to spring, like all the pieces are coming together. But I get excited to see what they're going to do because, you know, number one, Ant-Man was a super sleeper that nobody expected to happen, and it actually happened to be quality. I mean, do you disagree? Right. As a matter of fact, let me go to Paul Kane. Do you disagree that Ant-Man was a sleeper?
Ant-Man was definitely fun. It was fun. I don't know that he ever caught on as like a top tier person either, though. So even though this is Ant-Man 3, I haven't seen anybody, you know, really going about it. I haven't seen any pictures, any trailers or whatever else. So I don't think that it's going to be like a mega hit. It could do well. Also, though, DC, it's been a problem with Warner Brothers as always, but on the TV side of things, they did do the Atom actually getting big, and he had a, you know, a big giant fight. So DC did do that already, but, you know, Marvel's welcome to do it their way too.
So hold on for a second. That's crazy.
The one cool thing Marvel got going on for them that could be a mainstay for a couple of years is Deadpool. Deadpool is a superhero that's like John Wick.
Yeah, 100%. They can go crazy with Deadpool forever.
No, but my thing is that they have to do this Doctor Strange movie in order to officially bring X-Men over, for X-Men to get the Marvel treatment. Instead of the Sony treatment, you know, because Sony goes the same way to Warner Brothers when it comes to certain things. And the only successful thing that they've been able to do is to share Spider-Man and try to heal all the things into one. So that's another thing. But, you know, it is 11 o'clock. It's a school night. And we all know I have to get up in the morning. Dennis sends things because he has to go to bed early in the morning. I want to thank y'all for coming out. I know we had to take a detour because we was waiting for people to show up so we can get everything else going. But I want to thank everybody for coming out. Thank you for listening to 50 Radio Universe, Marvel vs. DC Part 5. We're going to continue this later, much more structured, much more time when everybody's not sick and moving and doing all the scary stuff in the background. And we're going to keep it moving. But I would like to thank especially Paul Kane,
I'd like to thank my cousin, J. Rob. I'd like to thank Van Metals. I know you're listening, but you can't do nothing about it. thank you, Danielle, and thank you for everybody who showed up. And we had that little War Council segment over that. I know J. Rob was avoided, but I want you to have a good time. Make sure everybody gets here. Be safe. Wash your hands. Wear a mask if you have to. Make sure everything else is good. God bless y'all. Good night. Paul Kane, thank you for coming once again. We had less yelling this time. Much less yelling. But we're going to
take care of yourself, bro.
Actually, do more.
Thank you, everybody. Y'all be safe,
man.
Y'all be safe, fellas.
All right. So this episode was self-destruct in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Go see the Batman. Go see.